512. 53. Third state of man after death, which is a state of instruction for those who enter heaven. The third state of man after death, that is, of his spirit, is a state of instruction. This state is for those who enter heaven and become angels. It is not for those who enter hell, because such are incapable of being taught, and therefore their second state is also their third, ending in this, that they are wholly turned to their own love, thus to that infernal society which is in a like love. When this has been done, they will and think from that love, and as that love is infernal, they will nothing but what is evil and think nothing but what is false, and in such thinking and willing they find their delights, because these belong to their love, and in consequence of this they reject everything good and true which they had previously adopted as serviceable to their love as means. Good spirits, on the other hand, are led from the second state into the third, which is the state of their preparation for heaven by means of instruction. For one can be prepared for heaven only by means of knowledges of good and truth, that is, only by means of instruction. Since one can know what spiritual good and truth are, and what evil and falsity are, which are their opposites, only by being taught. One can learn in the world what civil and moral good and truth are, which are called justice and honesty, because there are civil laws in the world that teach what is just, and there is interaction with others whereby man learns to live in accordance with moral laws, all of which have relation to what is honest and right. But spiritual good and truth are learned from heaven, not from the world. They can be learned from the Word and from the doctrine of the Church that is drawn from the Word, and yet unless man in respect to his interiors which belong to his mind is in heaven, spiritual good and truth cannot flow into his life. And man is in heaven when he both acknowledges the divine and acts justly and honestly for the reason that he ought so to act because it is commanded in the Word. This is living justly and honestly for the sake of the divine, and not for the sake of self and the world, as ends. But no one can so act until he has been taught, for example, that there is a God, that there is a heaven and a hell, that there is a life after death, that God ought to be loved supremely, and the neighbor is oneself, and that what is taught in the Word ought to be believed because the Word is divine. Without a knowledge and acknowledgement of these things, man is unable to think spiritually, and if he has no thought about them, he does not will them. For what a man does not know he cannot think, and what he does not think he cannot will. So it is when man wills these things that heaven flows into his life, that is, the Lord through heaven, for the Lord flows into the will and through the will into the thought, and through both into the life, and the whole life of man is from these. All this makes clear that spiritual good and truth are learned not from the world but from heaven, and that one can be prepared for heaven only by means of instruction. Moreover, so far as the Lord flows into the life of anyone, he instructs him. For so far he kindles the will with the love of knowing truths and enlightens the thought to know them. And so far as this is done, the interiors of man are opened and heaven is implanted in them. And furthermore, what is divine and heavenly flows into the honest things pertaining to moral life and into the just things pertaining to civil life in man, and makes them spiritual, since man then does these things from the divine, which is doing them for the sake of the divine. For the things honest and just pertaining to moral and civil life which a man does from that source are the essential effects of spiritual life, and the effect derives its all from the affecting cause, since such as the cause is such as the effect. 513. Instruction is given by the angels of many societies, especially those in the northern and southern quarters, because those angelic societies are in intelligence and wisdom from a knowledge of good and truth. The places of instruction are towards the north and are various, arranged and distinguished according to the kinds and varieties of heavenly goods, that all and each may be instructed there according to their disposition and ability to receive, the places extending round about to a great distance. The good spirits who are to be instructed are brought by the Lord to these places when they have completed their second state in the world of spirits. And yet not all, for there are some that have been instructed in the world, and have been prepared there by the Lord for heaven. And these are taken up into heaven by another way, some immediately after death, some after a short stay with good spirits, where the grosser things of their thoughts and affections which they had contracted from honors and riches in the world are removed, and in that way they are purified. Some first endure vestations, which is effected in places under the soles of the feet, called the lower earth, where some suffer severely. These are such as had confirmed themselves in falsities and yet had led good lives, for when falsities have been confirmed they inhere with much force, and until they have been dispersed truths cannot be seen, and thus cannot be accepted. But vestations and how they are effected have been treated of in the Arcana Coelestia, from which the notes below have been collected. Vestations are effected in the other life, that is, those that pass into the other life from the world are vastated. The well-disposed are vastated in respect to falsities, while the evil are vastated in respect to truths. The well-disposed undergo vestations that they also may be divested of what pertains to the earth and the world, which they had contracted while living in the world, also that evils and falsities may be removed, and thus there may be room for the influx of goods and truths out of heaven from the Lord, and ability to accept these. Elevation into heaven is impossible until such things have been removed, because they obstruct heavenly things and are not in harmony with them. Those who are to be raised up into heaven are thus prepared for it. It is dangerous to come into heaven before being prepared. The state of enlightenment and the joy of those who come out of vestation and are raised up into heaven, and their reception there. The region where those vestations are affected is called the lower earth. That region is under the soles of the feet surrounded by the hells, its nature described, from experience, what the hells are which more than others infest and vastate. Those that have infested and vastated the well-disposed are afterwards afraid of them, shun them, and turn away from them. These infestations and vastations are affected in different ways in accordance with the adhesion of evils and falsities, and they continue in accordance with their quality and quantity. Some are quite willing to be vastated. Some are vastated by fears. Some by being infested with the evils they have done in the world, and with the falsities they have thought in the world, from which they have anxieties and pangs of conscience. Some by spiritual captivity, which is ignorance of truth and interception of truth, combined with a longing to know truths. Some by sleep, some by a middle state between wakefulness and sleep. Those that have placed merit in work seem to themselves to be cutting wood. Others in other ways, with great variety. 514. All who are in places of instruction dwell apart, for each one is connected in regard to his interiors with that society of heaven which he is about to enter. Thus as the societies of heaven are arranged in accord with the heavenly form, so are the places there where instruction is given. And for this reason, when those places are viewed from heaven, something like a heaven in a smaller form is seen. They are spread out in length from east to west, and in breadth from south to north, but the breadth appears to be less than the length. The arrangement in general is as follows. In front are those who died in childhood and have been brought up in heaven to the age of early youth. These, after passing the state of their infancy with those having charge of them, are brought hither by the Lord and instructed. Behind these are the places where those are taught who died in adult age, and who in the world had an affection for truth derived from good of life. Again, behind these are those who in the world were connected with the Mohammedan religion, and lived a moral life and acknowledged one divine, and the Lord as the very prophet. When these withdraw from Mohammed, because he can give them no help, they approach the Lord and worship him and acknowledge his divinity, and they are then instructed in the Christian religion. Behind these more to the north are the places of instruction of various heathen nations who in the world have lived a good life in conformity with their religion, and have thereby acquired a kind of conscience, and have done what is just and right not so much from a regard to the laws of their government, as from a regard to the laws of religion, which they believed ought to be sacredly observed, and in no way violated by their doings. When these have been taught, they are all easily led to acknowledge the Lord, because it is impressed on their hearts that God is not invisible, but is visible under a human form. These in number exceed all the rest, and the best of them are from Africa. 515. But all are not taught in the same way, nor by the same societies of heaven. Those that have been brought up from childhood in heaven, not having imbibed falsities from the falsities of religion or defiled their spiritual life with the dregs pertaining to honors and riches in the world, receive instruction from the angels of the interior heavens, while those that have died in adult age receive instruction mainly from angels of the lowest heaven, because these angels are better suited to them than the angels of the interior heavens, who are in interior wisdom which is not yet acceptable to them. But the Mohammedans receive instruction from angels who had been previously in the same religion, and had been converted to Christianity. The heathen, too, are taught by their angels. 516. All teaching there is from doctrine drawn from the Word, and not from the Word apart from doctrine. Christians are taught from heavenly doctrine, which is in entire agreement with the internal sense of the Word. All others, as the Mohammedans and heathen, are taught from doctrine suited to their apprehension, which differ from heavenly doctrine only in this, that spiritual life is taught by means of moral life in harmony with the good tenets of their religion from which they had derived their life in the world. 517. Instruction in the heavens differs from instruction on earth in that knowledges are not committed to memory, but to life, for the memory of spirits is in their life, for they receive and imbibe everything that is in harmony with their life, and do not receive, still less imbibe, what is not in harmony with it, for spirits are affections, and are therefore in a human form that is similar to their affections. Being such, they are constantly animated by an affection for truth that looks to the uses of life. For the Lord provides for everyone's loving the uses suited to his genius, and that love is exalted by the hope of becoming an angel. And as all the uses of heaven have relation to the general use, which is the good of the Lord's kingdom, which in heaven is the fatherland, and as all special and particular uses are to be valued in proportion as they more closely and fully have regard to that general use, so all of these special and particular uses, which are innumerable, are good and heavenly. Therefore in everyone an affection for truth is so conjoined with an affection for use that the two make one, and thereby truth is so implanted in use that the truths they acquire are truths of use. In this way are angelic spirits taught and prepared for heaven. An affection for truth that is suited to the use is insinuated by various means, most of which are unknown in the world, chiefly by representatives of uses which in the spiritual world are exhibited in a thousand ways, and with such delights and pleasures that they permeate the spirit from the interiors of its mind to the exteriors of its body, and thus affect the whole. And in consequence the spirit becomes as it were his use, and therefore when he comes into his society, into which he is initiated by instruction, he is in his life by being in his use. From all this it is clear that knowledges, which are external truths, do not bring anyone into heaven, but the life itself, which is a life of uses implanted by means of knowledges. Every good has both its delight and its quality from uses and in accordance with uses. Therefore such is the good as such the uses. Angelic life consists in the goods of love and charity, thus in performing uses. The Lord and therefore the angels have regard to nothing in man but ends which are uses. The kingdom of the Lord is a kingdom of uses. Serving the Lord is performing uses. What man is, such are his uses. 518. There were some spirits who had convinced themselves, by thinking about it in the world, that they would go to heaven and be received before others because of their learning and their great knowledge of the word and of the doctrines of their churches, believing that they were wise in consequence, and were such as are meant by those of whom it is said that they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and as the stars. But these were examined to see whether their knowledge is recited in the memory or in the life. Such of them as had a genuine affection of truth, that is, who had uses separated from what pertains to the body and the world as their end, which are essentially spiritual uses, these, when they had been instructed, were received into heaven, and it was then given them to know what it is that shines in heaven, namely, divine truth in use, which is a plane that receives the rays of that light and turns them into various splendors. But those in whom knowledge is recited merely in the memory, and who had acquired therefrom an ability to reason about truths and to prove what they had already accepted as principles, seeing such principles, after they had confirmed them, as truths, although they were falsities, these, as they were in no heavenly light, and yet were in a belief derived from the conceit that usually adheres to such intelligence that they were more learned than others, and would for that reason enter heaven and be served by the angels, in order that they might be withdrawn from their delusive faith, were taken up to the first or outmost heaven to be introduced into an angelic society. But at the very threshold their eyes began to be darkened by the inflowing of the light of heaven, and their understanding to be disturbed, and at length they began to gasp as if at the point of death, and as soon as they felt the heat of heaven, which is heavenly love, they began to be inwardly tormented. They were therefore cast down, and afterwards were taught that knowledges do not make an angel, but the life itself, which is gained by means of knowledges, for knowledges regarded in themselves are outside of heaven, but life acquired by means of knowledges is within heaven. 519. When spirits have been prepared for heaven by instruction in the places above described, which is effected in a short time on account of their being in spiritual ideas that comprehend many particulars together, they are clothed with angelic garments, which are mostly glowing white as if made of fine linen, and they are thus brought to the way that leads upwards towards heaven, and are delivered there to angel guards, and afterwards are received by other angels and introduced into societies and into many blessednesses there. After this each one is led by the Lord into his own society, which is also affected by various ways, sometimes by winding paths. The ways by which they are led are not known to any angel, but are known to the Lord alone. When they come to their own society, their interiors are opened, and as these are in conformity with the interiors of the angels who are in that society, they are immediately recognized and received with joy. 520. To this I will add a memorable fact respecting the ways that lead from these places to heaven, by which the newly arrived angels are introduced. There are 8 ways, 2 from each place of instruction, 1 going up in an eastern direction, the other towards the west. Those that enter the Lord's celestial kingdom are introduced by the eastern way, while those that enter the spiritual kingdom are introduced by the western way. The 4 ways that lead to the Lord's celestial kingdom appear adorned with olive trees and fruit trees of various kinds, but those that lead to the Lord's spiritual kingdom appear adorned with vines and laurels. This is from correspondence, because vines and laurels correspond to affection for truth and its uses, while olives and fruits correspond to affection for good and its uses. 521. No one enters heaven by mercy apart from means. Those that have not been instructed about heaven and the way to heaven, and about the life of heaven in man, suppose that being received into heaven is a mere matter of mercy, and is granted to those that have faith, and for whom the Lord intercedes, thus that it is an admission from mere favor. Consequently, that all men without exception might be saved if the Lord so pleased, and some even believe that all in hell might be so saved. But those who so think know nothing about man, that he is just such as his life is, and that his life is such as his love is, both in respect to the interiors pertaining to his will and understanding and in respect to the exteriors pertaining to his body. Also that his bodily form is merely the external form in which the interiors exhibit themselves in effect. Consequently that one's love is the whole man. Nor do they know that the body lives not from itself, but from its spirit, and that a man's spirit is his essential affection, and his spiritual body is nothing else than his affection in human form. And in such a form it appears after death. So long as man remains ignorant of all this, he may be induced to believe that salvation involves nothing but the divine good pleasure, which is called mercy and grace. 522. But first let us consider what the divine mercy is. The divine mercy is pure mercy towards the whole human race, to save it, and it is also unceasing towards every man, and is never withdrawn from any one, so that everyone is saved who can be saved. And yet no one can be saved except by divine means, which means the Lord reveals in the Word. The divine means are what are called divine truths, which teach how man must live in order to be saved. By these truths the Lord leads man to heaven, and by them he implants in man the life of heaven. This the Lord does for all. But the life of heaven can be implanted in no one unless he abstains from evil, for evil obstructs. So far, therefore, as man abstains from evil he is led by the Lord out of pure mercy by his divine means, and this from infancy to the end of his life in the world and afterwards to eternity. This is what is meant by the divine mercy. And from this it is evident that the mercy of the Lord is pure mercy, but not apart from means, that is, it does not look to saving all out of mere good pleasure, however they may have lived. 523. The Lord never does anything contrary to order, because he himself is order. The divine truth that goes forth from the Lord is what constitutes order, and divine truths are the laws of order. It is in accord with these laws that the Lord leads man. Consequently, to save man by mercy apart from means would be contrary to divine order, and what is contrary to divine order is contrary to the divine. Divine order is heaven and man has perverted this in himself by a life contrary to the laws of order, which are divine truths. Into this order man is brought back by the Lord out of pure mercy by means of the laws of order. And so far as he is brought back into this order he receives heaven in himself, and he that receives heaven in himself enters heaven. This again makes evident that the Lord's divine mercy is pure mercy, and not mercy apart from means. Divine truth going forth from the Lord is the source of order, and divine good is the essential of order. Thus the Lord is order. Divine truths are the laws of order. The whole heaven is arranged by the Lord in accordance with his divine order. Therefore the form of heaven is a form in accord with the divine order. So far as a man is living in accordance with order, that is, so far as he is living in good in accordance with divine truths, he is receiving heaven in himself. Man is the being in whom are brought together all things of divine order, and by creation he is divine order in form, because he is a recipient of divine order. Man is not born into good and truth but into evil and falsity, thus not into divine order but into the opposite of order, and for this reason he is born into pure ignorance. Consequently it is necessary for him to be born anew, that is, to be regenerated, which is effected by the Lord by means of divine truths, that he may be brought back into order. When the Lord forms man anew, that is, regenerates him, he arranges all things in him in harmony with order, that is, in the form of heaven. Evils and falsities are contrary to order. Nevertheless those who are in them are ruled by the Lord not in accordance with order but from order. It is impossible for a man who lives in evil to be saved by mercy alone, for that would be contrary to divine order. 524. If men could be saved by mercy apart from means all would be saved, even those in hell. In fact, there would be no hell, because the Lord is mercy itself, love itself, and goodness itself. Therefore it is inconsistent with his divine to say that he is able to save all apart from means and does not save them. It is known from the word that the Lord wills the salvation of all, and the damnation of no one. 525. Most of those who enter the other life from the Christian world bring with them this belief that they can be saved by mercy apart from means, and pray for that mercy. But when examined they are found to believe that entering heaven is merely gaining admission, and that those who are led in are in heavenly joy. They are wholly ignorant of what heaven is and what heavenly joy is, and consequently are told that the Lord denies heaven to no one, and that they can be admitted and can stay there if they desire it. Those who so desired were admitted, but as soon as they reached the first threshold they were seized with such anguish of heart from a draft of heavenly heat, which is the love in which angels are, and from an inflow of heavenly light, which is divine truth, that they felt in themselves infernal torment instead of heavenly joy. And struck with dismay they cast themselves down headlong. Thus they were taught by living experience that it is impossible to grant heaven to anyone from mercy apart from means. 526. I have occasionally talked with angels about this, and have told them that most of those in the world who live in evil, when they talk with others about heaven and eternal life, express no other idea than that entering heaven is merely being admitted from mercy alone. And this is believed by those especially who make faith the only medium of salvation. For such from the principles of their religion have no regard to the life and the deeds of love that make life, and thus to none of the other means by which the Lord implants heaven in man and renders him receptive of heavenly joy. And as they thus reject every actual mediation, they conclude, as a necessary consequence of the principle, that man enters heaven from mercy alone, to which mercy God the Father is believed to be moved by the intercession of the Son. To all this the angels said that they knew such a tenet follows of necessity from the assumption that man is saved by faith alone. And since that tenet is the head of all the rest, and since into it, because it is not true, no light from heaven can flow, this is the source of the ignorance that prevails in the church at this day in regard to the Lord. Heaven, the life after death, heavenly joy, the essence of love and charity, and in general, in regard to good and its conjunction with truth, consequently in regard to the life of man, whence it is and what it is, when it should be known that thought never constitutes any one's life, but the will and the consequent deeds, and that the life is from the thought only to the extent that the thought is derived from the will. Neither is life from the faith except so far as the faith is derived from love. Angels are grieved that these persons do not know that faith alone is impossible in any one, since faith apart from its origin, which is love, is nothing but knowledge, and in some is merely a sort of persuasion that has the semblance of faith. Such a persuasion is not in the life of man, but outside of it, since it is separated from man unless it coheres with his love. The angels said further that those who hold to this principle concerning the essential means of salvation in man must needs believe in mercy apart from means, for they perceive both from natural light and from the experience of sight that faith separate does not constitute the life of man, since those who lead an evil life are able to think and to be persuaded the same as others. And from this comes the belief that the evil as well as the good can be saved, provided that at the hour of death they talk with confidence about intercession, and about the mercy that is granted through that intercession. The angels declared that they had never yet seen anyone who had lived an evil life received into heaven from mercy apart from means, whatever trust or confidence he had exhibited in his talk in the world. When asked about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and the apostles, whether they were not received into heaven from mercy apart from means, the angels replied that not one of them was so received, but everyone in accordance with his life in the world, that they knew where these were, and that they were no more esteemed there than others. They said that these persons are mentioned with honor in the word for the reason that in the internal sense the Lord is meant by them, by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord in respect to the divine and the divine human, by David the Lord in respect to the divine royalty, and by the apostles the Lord in respect to divine truths. Also that when the word is read by man the angels have no perception whatever of these men, for their names do not enter heaven. But they have instead a perception of the Lord as he has just been described. Consequently, in the word that is in heaven there are no such names mentioned, since that word is the internal sense of the word that is in the world. In the internal sense of the word by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord in respect to the divine itself and the divine human is meant. In heaven Abraham is unknown. By David the Lord in respect to the divine royalty is meant. The 12 apostles represented the Lord in respect to all things of the church. That is, all things pertaining to faith and love. Peter represented the Lord in respect to faith, James in respect to charity, and John in respect to the works of charity. The 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones and judging the 12 tribes of Israel signified that the Lord will judge in accord with the truths and goods of faith and love. The names of persons and of places in the word do not enter heaven, but are changed into things and states, and in heaven these names cannot even be uttered. Moreover, the angels think abstractedly from persons. 527. I can testify from much experience that it is impossible to implant the life of heaven in those who in the world have lived a life opposite to the life of heaven. There were some who had believed that when after death they should hear divine truths from the angels they would readily accept them and believe them, and consequently live a different life, and could thus be received into heaven. But this was tried with very many, although it was confined to those who held this belief, and was permitted in their case to teach them that repentance is not possible after death. Some of those with whom the experiment was made understood truths and seemed to accept them, but as soon as they turned to the life of their love they rejected them, and even spoke against them. Others were unwilling to hear them, and at once rejected them. Others wished to have the life of love that they had contracted from the world taken away from them, and to have the angelic life, or the life of heaven, infused in its place. This, too, was permitted to be done, but as soon as the life of their love was taken away they lay as if dead, with their powers gone. By these and other experiments the simple good were taught that no one's life can by any means be changed after death, and that an evil life can in no way be converted into a good life, or an infernal life into an angelic life, for every spirit from head to heel is such as his love is, and therefore such as his life is, and to convert his life into its opposite is to destroy the spirit completely. The angels declare that it would be easier to change a night owl into a dove, or a horned owl into a bird of paradise, than to change an infernal spirit into an angel of heaven. That man after death continues to be such as his life had been in the world can be seen above in its own chapter. From all this it is evident that no one can be received into heaven from mercy apart from means.